their latest album, The Next Chapter. You can check these folks out on Facebook. And we started off with Cohen Brathwaite Kilcoyne doing Babylon from an album out on Wild Goose featuring him solo called Outway Songster. This fellow is just tremendously talented, a great voice, had been playing in a trio for a while when people urged him to make his own record, and hopefully you can see why. Well, we'd like to remind you, if you are a Celtic artist who would like to get heard, and as you can tell, our remit goes far and wide, please send your CDs and promotional announcements to Celtic Dawn, care of WMFO, Post Office Box 53065, Medford, Massachusetts, 02153. Now, for those folks not in the know, across the pond, today is the early May Day holiday. And yes, it's after Beltane and after the Helston Furry Dance, but you know, Beltane used to last for the merry month of May, which is one of the reasons I think that it's got that name. And we're going to hear a few songs from Lisa Knapp's album, Till April Is Dead, A Garland of May.
I have been rambling all the night, and the best part of the day, and now I am returning back again. I have brought you a branch of May, a branch of May, my dear, I say. Before your door I stand. It's nothing but a sprout, but it's well budded out by the work of our Lord's hands. Go down in your dairy and fetch me a cup of your sweet cream. And if I should live to tarry the town, I'll call on you next year. The hedges and fields, they are so green, as green as any leaf. Our heavenly Father waters them with his heavenly dew so sweet. When I am dead and in my grave and covered with cold clay, the nightingales sit dancing and pass the time away. Take a Bible in your hand and read a chapter through. dance more. I wish you a joyful May.
What's not destroyed by time's relentless hand? Where's Troy? Where's the maypole on the strand?
Maids, I say, for if you go a-rushing, the get you blushing, I'll steal your rushes away.
What you're about to hear is a live performance and presentation of ancient magical ballads, in which the ballads are sung and their mysterious content is explored. It was given in May 2001 to an audience at a retreat centre in upstate New York. So we're going to be spending some time together on the subject of magical ballads. So first of all, what are the magical ballads? Basically, there is a body of old songs from Europe. You know, they're found in Britain, Ireland, Scandinavian countries, France, Germanic countries, Belgium, Spain, and moving their way eastward. This particular body of ballads has a set that are in English, which are found in Great Britain and Ireland, and in America. And of course, there are equivalents to this material worldwide, but here we're dealing with the English language ones for obvious reasons, because we speak English and they're part of our cultural tradition. I'm best acquainted with the Scottish and Irish ballads and with many of the English ones, and with a number of the American ones which were brought over to the USA with emigrants, particularly the Scottish and Irish, and indeed many of the ballads were preserved in the remote regions, the southern Appalachian Mountains is the great example that everyone always cites, were preserved in these regions for much longer than they were preserved in their native countries of Britain and Ireland. So why are they magical ballads? There are many traditional ballads of all sorts. Some are storytelling narratives, some are farming, sailing, love songs. But the particular kind of ballads, they're sometimes called the narrative ballads. Professor Child, an American academic, collected all the texts for those around 100 years or so ago. And the melodies were also put into one large volume by Bertrand Harris Bronson, another American scholar. So these are a particular genre or style of folk song handed down by oral tradition, which over some periods of time were written down. Some early scholars of literature were interested in them, wrote them down in the 18th, 19th century. Gradually, they became the subject of academic folklore studies. We're not interested in those aspects here. What we're interested in here is the magical content of a very small body of ballads inside the greater body of ballads. Why are they magical ballads? Because they have some rather remarkable things in them. Let me give you just a small list of the main things that happen. They're based on themes of life, death, and resurrection. People die and come back to life again. This is one of the major motifs that happens in these ballads. Also, there are often powerful women featuring as lovers and mothers who perform magical acts. I'll sing you some of these as we go on this evening. They transform people into other shapes. Shape changing is a feature of the magical ballads. They invoke mysterious forces from the heavens or from the underworld. In some ballads, the fairy queen appears explicitly. She's described as the fairy queen. She brings otherworld visions, as in the ballad of Thomas Rhymer. She produces transformations and mysterious curses, as in the ballad of Tamlin. We also have more obscure magical motifs. Strange people with mysterious powers of life and death come and go. Magical ships with sails of gold and silver that sail without wind cross the ocean mysteriously. Now, what's remarkable about these were being sung, and probably still are being sung, in remote areas of the southern Appalachian Mountains in modern times. These are not just the relics of previous centuries. Up until very recently indeed, they form part of a living oral tradition. This is rather strange. Why would people who nowadays have cars and probably have TV and refrigerators preserve these mysterious old ballads that have magical motifs in them? Well, the simple answer is this. They're simply just handed down. They're just things that people sing and know within the family. And that, I think, is the basis for their preservation through the centuries. You will hear people who say, oh, well, these ballads represent a mysterious, hidden pagan tradition that was kept underground and kept secretive in the ballads, and thus was preserved. This cannot be true. Much as we would like it to be true, this cannot be true. First of all the people singing the ballads were Christians of some sort or other. They were Catholics, they were Baptists, they probably weren't Presbyterians, because Presbyterians didn't sing songs like this. But they were all Christians of some sort or other. It would never have occurred to them that what they were singing was pagan, and they'd be very offended if you suggested that to them. They'd be very upset. And they'd want to know what the hell you were talking about. And we're fortunate because these ballads were just part of family traditions and of community traditions handed down as entertainment prior to mass media. This is the key thing. Prior to mass media, but existing long after the advent of radio, television, they still continued. We're lucky that these people were indeed able to preserve them. And very often the ballads are preserved because they are rationalized. We're going to talk about that in a moment after I've sung the first ballad. The ballads are rationalized in the sense that the stories are re-explained. And the best way to deal with this is to listen to what's happening in a ballad and look at the series of images rather than the way the text or the words explain the reasons for the images. This is what the late Robert Graves called iconotropism. He applied this very valuable theory to Greek mythology. And what he said is that you study a myth and you boil it down to a set of pictures. If you had a simple set of pictures of icons of each stage of the myth, what would they look like? And then the words of the myth, as the story is told, or of the ballad, as it is sung in this case, are the way people preserve the images of the myth by gradually changing their rationalization of it through the generations. Let me give you a classic example. This is a Scottish ballad called The Laylee Worm and the Mackerel of the Sea. In this ballad, the ballad opens in the middle of the story. Many ballads form sequences, one across the other, as if they are part of some great story cycle that has been fragmented. We do not know the whole. There may never have been a whole, but it feels like there could have been, and I think that's as close as one can go. So the story opens with a man, a knight, as he's described. Ballads are often set in a semi-medieval ambience. A knight is riding along the road. He sees a serpent coiled around the tree. And there are seven slain knights, or at least the serpent speaks and says it has slain seven knights. And that the serpent tells the man that it was originally a youth who had been transformed into the shape of a serpent to coil around the tree by his wicked stepmother. And the wicked stepmother also changed his sister, who's called Maisri, into a mackerel. So the knight realizes that this is his own son. So he calls his wife, the stepmother of the son and daughter, and he challenges her to change them back. She gets a wee silver wand and changes the serpent, Laili Worm or dragon, back into a handsome young knight. She gets a wee silver horn and all the fishes of the sea come to her except the mackerel. And because she can't change the mackerel back in the ballad, the Lord sends for whinnies and hawthorns, thorny branches, and they burn the witch. Fine. If we follow the idea of looking at these as images, what do we see? First, we see a serpent coiled around a tree. And it's possible that the seven slain knights represent seven zones of the tree. This kind of thing appears a lot in mythology and in Kabbalistic symbolism. We see a man standing before the serpent coiled around the tree. The next thing that we see is a woman appearing who uses a silver wand, and the serpent around the tree turns into a beautiful young man. Then the same woman blows a silver horn, and all the fish of the sea come to her. And the next thing that happens is you see the woman surrounded by fire. If we use this loose method of looking at the images, we discover that the woman is more like a goddess figure than a wicked witch figure. She does shape-changing and transformation. The living creatures come to her. She has the magical implements of the wand and the horn, and we see her surrounded by light and fire at the end of the story. In many cases, this method of iconic interpretation is very helpful for the magical ballads. And I'll sing you that. In fact, I'll sing you that one now. When that I was but 7 years old, my mother, she did die. My father, he married the worst woman that ever your eyes did see. My father, he married the worst woman that ever your eyes did see. And she was a witch of the vilest of kind and a lady of high degree. She turned me into the Laili Worm to coil all around the tree. She turned my sister, sweet Maisri, into the mackerel of the sea. And seven brave knights I have slain here, all underneath of the tree. Even that you are my own father, dear, the eighth one you should be. So his father he sent for this lady so gay, all unto her he did say, ah, what have you done, oh, with my young son and his sister Maisri? Your son he has gone all to the king's court, earning his meat and his fee. Your daughter has gone all to the queen's court, he'd lady for to be. You lie and you lie, you evil woman, so loud I hear you to lie, for you turned my son to the Laili Worm to coil around the tree, and you turned his sister, sweet Maisri, into the mackerel of the sea. So the lady has taken a wee silver wand and stroked it three times three. And up and arose then the finest young knight that ever a son could be. And the lady has taken a wee silver horn and blown on it three times three. And all of the fishes they came unto her but the mackerel of the sea. And all of the fishes they came unto her, but the mackerel out of the sea. Seeing you shape at me once in an unseemly shape,
and ye never more will shape me. So the Lord he has sent all to the greenwood, for Winnie's and for the hawthorn, and there he has taken that lady so gay, and there he did her born. There he has taken that lady so gay, and there he did her born.
How many songs did you, or do you still know, do you think?
Well, the last time I used to have a little black book that I had the titles set down in, and I had a 385.
You know, and there's never been a Merry England. You know, we call it Merry England, and Shakespeare talks about the sceptred island, everything. But it was a dark place, you know, horrors were going on most of the time. And I never had any illusions about that, but I still had this feeling of real interest in things that were old and that had survived that long. I just love the age of the songs, you know, and the strength of them for having survived so well.
childbirth she did pass, and left four children filled with grief and Lear a broken heart. The king he sent to Lear his second daughter as a bride, and though she had a love for Lear, no child could she abide. For Aoife had a jealous heart and took them for
the summer. Hail to the summer, the season that drives the cold winter away. Hail to the summer. Hail to the summer, light your bonfire. Today is Beltane.
High on Mount Cabin, we look down on Tolkien land. The minstrels away catch the sun on the sea. The ring of the Morris bells brings on the May morning. Set free your spirit, come dance up the dawn.
Hail to the summer, hail to the summer, the season that drives the cold winter away. Hail to the summer, hail to the summer, light your bonfire, today is Beltane.
Down west in Padstow the wheel spins round and round, plied by the teaser who's calling him on. The rhythm of the drums in the hills up above the town brings out the people for dancing and song.
High on Mount Cabin we look down on Tolkien land. The minstrels away catch the sun on the sea. The ring of the Morris bells brings on the May morning. Set free your spirit, come dance up the dawn. Hail to the summer, hail to the summer, the season that drives the cold winter away. Hail to the summer, hail to the summer, light your bonfire, today is Beltane.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pill,
tools?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Good morning. It's 9:45. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, and this is Between the Worlds, a sort of Beltane, post-Beltane show. We heard two pieces from Spiral Dance there, Weaving the Summer, from an album they put out back in 1999 called Magic. And before that, we heard from their latest album, Land and Legend, and telling the Irish epic of the Children of Lear. And we heard some excerpts from the Ballad of Shirley Collins et al. First of all, when she's starting to... starting to embark on her American ballad collection with Alan Lomax. He was a marvelous folklorist who was working at the Library of Congress, and then in the early 50s there was this was after the Second World War and the Korean War. There was a big actual witch hunt for communists under the bed, and anyone was a suspect at all. Fortunately, Joe McCarthy, who was the senatorial leader, was a man who thought he could not be stopped by anything, and when he decided to take on the U.S. Army, that's when it all came crashing down, and people like Alan Lomax could return and got himself a record contract, and decided that he'd been in exile over in England and had seen enough of a bad performance style there and thought that he would actually have a go at collecting these ballads from their Appalachian source. And he took Shirley Collins along with him when she was just a young lass, and the rest is history. And then we heard R.J. Stewart telling us about ballad magic and singing the Lolly Worm. Anya Minot gave us the Sitting Pilgrimage, starting off with Over the Sea to Sky and then going on from there. And that's from her fine album In the Name of Stillness. And Lisa Knapp gave us three pieces from her album that came out last year, Till April is Dead, A Garland of May, and the Bedfordshire May Day Carol featuring Mary Hampton, and then Where's Troy, and then Don't You Go A-Rushing. Well, our calendrical information is as usual, brought to you by the Perpetual Almanac of Folklore by Charles Kightley. May the 7th, the white-flowered sour apple-tasting wood sorrel now in bloom. Children born this week have special powers. Children born between the Beltanes, between the 1st and the 8th of May, the beginning and end of the Beltane Festival, have the skill of man and beast and power over both. May the 8th is Furry Day or Floral Dance Day at Helston in Cornwall. Used to be the case. Now, of course, it's held on a Sunday and has passed us by. But the Robin Hood May Games are supposed to be in full swing. May the 9th, milk your cows carefully, because May was in Anglo-Saxon the Thri Milchai de month, and it was the month when cows gave milk three times a day, or the dairy month. May the 10th was known as Dotterel Day, the high point of the bird netting season. And what, you ask, is a dotterel? Andrew Boord's Dietary of Health of 1547 notes, all manner of small birds be good and light of digestion, except sparrows, which be hard of digestion, titmouses, coal mouses, and wrens. That which eats spiders and poisons be not commendable. Of all small birds, the lark is the best, then is praised the blackbird and thrush. May the 12th is St. Pancras' Day. Seek headache cures. Lady's mantle will be in flower about now. William Turner's Herbal of 1568 notes, Our Lady's mantle is an herb of green color and groweth in moist meadows. In the night it closeth itself together like a purse, and in the morning it is found full of dew. May the 13th was May Day Old Style. In other words, before the calendar changed to the Gregorian calendar. Morris dancers much in request for May Games. And a Whitsun feast because Easter was so early this year. You found most of the Rogation Days and Ascension Tide festivals were at the end of April. So we're going out of here with a brief bit from Dave the Bard's first branch of the Mabinogion, and possibly a couple of short tunes afterwards. It depends on when the next person comes in. In the meantime, it's 9:53. You're listening to WMFO in Medford.
Saith cantref dyfed, ac un diwrnod yr oedd yn arber un o'i brif lysoedd, a daeth i'w fryd ac i'w feddwl i fynd i hela. Dyma'r rhambarth o'i dirnas, a fynnau ei hela, glyn cych. Ac beg a chwynodd ef y nos hwnnw arbyr, a daeth i ben llwyn diarwyd, ac yno y bu y nos hwnnw. A thranoedd, yn ei ienctid y dydd, cododd a ddod i lun cych i ollwng ei gŵn dan y coed. Canodd ei gorn a pheri i'r hela yn gynnyll a symud ar ôl y cŵn gan golli golwg ar ei gymdeithion.
There are those who say the old stories were born of people who looked at the stars, the sun, the moon, the turning seasons, and tried to make sense of the changes they saw around them. They tried to find meaning in a life filled with hardship and strife. Maybe that was how I came to be. Or maybe I existed before, and as they looked to the land, sea and sky, our eyes met for the first time, and they saw my story unfold in the trees, the sun, the corn in the field. Or perhaps it was I who reached for them, pleading with them to tell my story. It's too long ago now to remember how these things came to pass. So much has changed since my father first set eyes upon my mother. But that is later in my tale. Who am I? I have been known by many names. Mabon, Maponus, Guri of the Golden Hair, Sunchild, Clay Chlaugafes. But for this tale, and for some of those to come, you must know me as Pryderi. But once more, I find myself reaching too far ahead. For my story begins some years before my birth, with Pwyll, the Prince of Dyved, my father, who heard a call from the other world and reached out to grasp his destiny.